Well, good evening. It's good to see all of you here. It's good to be here. Neil had asked me to do this last year, and I had just started a new job and was afraid that I didn't need to come. But I probably told Neil not too long ago, we were talking about something else, and he said, "Hey, man, what do you think about July?" And I said, "It's a funny thing that you said that." I said, "I pray for God to give me places to preach." And I told God I'd go anywhere. So I've been anywhere, amen? I'm a little nervous tonight, not because the Lord has not called me to preach, not because he hasn't given me a word, but there are two ladies in this house that helped me through high school, kept me straight, and I'm nervous, y'all. One I've been married to for 32 years, another I've been friends with long before that. And they know way too many secrets about me that I'm going to tell you anything about them. Just say it. It is a pleasure. My wife, Kim, we've been married for 32 years, and we have two sons and three grandkids. Yes. The old saying, if you can skip the kids and go straight to the grandkids, I understand. I totally understand. I do want to preface this message by saying that at some point I'm going to replace Paul's name with Peter, or Peter's name with Paul. Or I may say Israel, meaning Isaac, or something like that. So you know where I'm going. Just hang in there with me, okay? We're going to preach the word. We're going to try to get it right. But the Lord doesn't have a whole lot to work with. I just say that. But he has been working with it for a long time. Tonight, I want to share something that God put on my heart. When Neil called and asked, and I asked him what he had been praying about and what he had tried to been leading you through as a church, and the word unity came in there, and I began to pray about that, and I began to pray, Lord, you know, where can I take that? Where can I lead with that? And in my home church back in December, a little bit before, I preached a series through Ephesians called Reconciliation. And this is part of that series, but twisted from where it was. God gave me a fresh word out of this, and I don't know about you, but I'm tired of politics. I'm tired of United States politics. I'm tired of county politics. I'm tired of church politics. Look out. Now, I will, let me preface one more thing. I may hurt your feelings before tonight's over with. I don't mean to. It's not intentional. But I'm going to preach the truth and do the best I can to preach the truth. And I don't know about you, but every time I pick up the Bible, every time I dive into God's Word and I really dive into it and begin to learn, it hurts my feelings. Why is that? Because it tells me that I'm not doing what I need to be doing. I need to do it better. Amen? So that's where we're headed tonight. That's what we're headed in tonight. And I think as a church that we all can do better in our follow with Christ, in our relationship with Christ. You know, I began to think about how messed up our world is, and the things of the world is just completely messed up. Then I began to look at our country, and I thought, you know, our country's not any better than our world. In fact, our country is following the world. And then I began to think about our denomination, and we just had our, what do you call that thing, convention, that's it, out yonder somewhere, and I got so tired of watching it online, because it was all about race relations, and it's all about being politically correct in race relations, and I got tired of watching that, because all that is politics, and our denomination has become like our country, and our country's become like our world, and it just keeps trickling down, and our churches have become what they are because of the denomination has become what it is. And then we look at our life. Our lives are messed up because our world's messed up, because our country's messed up, because our denomination's messed up, because our churches are messed up. And we've just fallen in line and just allowed it to change us as a people. And don't get me wrong, this is not all negative. I just want you to hear my heart tonight, because you're going to hear it. I woke up Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit just pounded on me. I like not made it out of the house without squalling. Then we got to church, and I began to pray with my pastor, and I couldn't even hardly pray because the Holy Spirit was just so pressed on my heart. So I want you to understand, the Holy Spirit has pressed this on my heart. But I want you to hear it because it applies to all of us. If you got your Bible, if you got God's copy of the Word, you can use an iPad. I don't care what you use. As long as you go there, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Each one of us has a civil war going on in our life. I don't care who you are, I don't know how good you are. We all have some kind of civil war going on because we're torn between the desire to do good and the desire to do evil. What does that do? That separates us when we go to the evil side from the Father. Worst of all, there's disharmony between God and human beings, men and women who are meant to fellowship with God are estranged from Him. Adrian Rogers said, both rivers and men become crooked because they follow the path of least resistance. Amen? We do whatever's easiest for us, right? We make sure it's easy on us and hard on everybody else. That's what we do. I'm guilty. And that's what we do. We say, well, instead of doing what God called me to do, and instead of reading God's Word, instead of doing what the Word of God tells me to do, it's easier for me to push that aside and to walk in the world. It's a whole lot easier. It is. I work in a construction company, and they all over the world, and I work on their computers. Now, I'm a redneck, and I'll just go on and tell you. I'm just lucky enough to learn how to work on computers, okay? But I get some guys that call me, and I'm thinking, can you even turn it on? I'm just saying, you know? And they'll put out 15 words before they tell me, yeah, I can turn it on. You know, and it's easy for you to fall into that trap that Satan sets for you, to become just like them, to become just like the world, just become just, instead of standing on the truth, instead of standing for what God has for us, instead of saying, you know what, I don't need to hear all that, and this is why, we just say, oh yeah, okay, and move on. It's easier, isn't it? It's easier, isn't it? It is for me sometimes. Sometimes when the same guy's called 14 times and he does it every time, you just finally go, okay, whatever. That's wrong. I told my wife Sunday, I said, I'm tired. Tired of the same old, same old. I'm tired of not feeding the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm tired of not Him not moving in and out of my life like He has. I'm tired of Him not having control of my life. Why is that? It's because we've allowed Satan to take us through the paths of least resistance. We said, okay, I'm just not going to fight anymore. Our world is in a mess. Billy Graham said that 80% of the people sitting in your church pews today are lost. Sounds bad, doesn't it? 80% of the people that are sitting in our church pews are lost. Why are they lost? Because our churches have taken the paths of least resistance. Because our pastors, and I'm not talking about yours, but our pastors have quit preaching the Word of God and started preaching this feel-good stuff. Amen. And not the truth. It's the path of least resistance. The only thing that can bring us back is Christ. The only thing that can bring us back to where we need to be is Christ and our relationship with Him. You see, my relationship has nothing to do with your relationship with Him. Now, God called me to preach. God called me to preach His Word, and that's exactly what I'm going to do, and that's exactly where I'm getting there tonight. Randy asked me if I was long-winded or short-winded. Let's just say this. The Methodists are happy when I preach. They get all the white meat. Just saying. John 16:33, it says, I've told you that all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Y'all, that should be an encouragement to us as Christians. that should be encouragement to us as people of God. That regardless of what this world is like, regardless of what's going on in our lives, regardless of what's going on in our country, anything else, God is in control. And God owns and takes care of everything. So why would we not want to follow Him? If He has us written in the palm of His hands, why would we not follow Him? Because we take the path of least resistance. You know why we do that? Let's get into our scripture. I'm going to ask you, as I read God's word, if you would stand out of reverence to the reading of His holy, infallible, perfect word. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in the first verse. It says, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you were once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this evening. Father, I thank You that You've allowed me safe travels, my wife and I safe travels, to come and share Your word, to come and share fellowship with this church and with my friends, Lord. And I thank You for all of that. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for putting this word in my heart. And Father, I'm just going to ask You right now. Dano says what he's going to say. Father, I ask You to take over. I ask that You remove me from this pulpit. Father, that I become a mouthpiece for You. Because You and only You can change the hearts and minds of every person. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I know that was a long introduction, but that's where we are. Just saying. I wanted you to hear my heart. I wanted you to understand my heart. And as I said last Sunday, and even before that, I began to pray, Lord, you know, I want Your hand upon me. I want Your hand to reveal Your presence to me. I want You to be so present in my life that I feel it. The Bible says that if you ever tasted Him, He is good. Amen? That's my version of that. I don't know if you call it the Message version. It's just called the Dano version. And I've tasted it. I've tasted the experience God, and I experienced Him through the Holy Spirit, and there's absolutely nothing like it. So why would I want to lose that? Why would I want to walk away from that? The path of least resistance, amen? Yeah, that's what I say. Most of the time, God never moves. Well, let me rephrase that. All the time, God never moves. It's usually me that moves. He never changes. God is always God and always will be. He never moves. You say, well, I'm a Christian. What has this got to do with me? What's these first three verses got to do with me? Well, when Christians go to church, or when we gather for Sunday school, or when we gather in church, or when we gather as the church, most of the time somebody's got their nose in the air because we're better than everybody else. Because we go to church, right? We go to church, so that makes us better. Wrong. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even Billy Graham and Adrian Rogers. Amen. That's why I wanted to read that first few verses. That's the reason I wanted to bring those first few verses up. I wanted to bring that up because if we are not in tune with God, if we are not following in His fellowship, if we don't have a relationship with Him, then we're being dead. That we're being disobedient. We've been depraved, and we are doomed not to have the life that He has for us. You see, it's not only a problem for those who are spiritually dead, but it's also a problem in the church. Have y'all ever been to a dead church? I've preached in a bunch of them, and it ain't fun. You know, I don't know if Jesus could raise it up. I'm just telling you. That's what it's like for a church to walk without Christ. That's what it's like for the church family to walk outside of Christ. It's dead. Praise God. Boy, I could have left a while ago after the music. You know, I'm just saying. I don't get that all the time. It's alive. Yeah, and then we think, well, God's calling me to do this, and God wants me to do this, and God puts people in our path, and when we don't do what God wants us to do, then we become what? Disobedient, right? Which separates us a little bit further from His grace and from His mercy and from what He has for us. You see, as Christians, I just don't understand that. And look, I'm looking in the mirror, okay? I want you to understand this. I'm looking in the mirror. I asked God to give me places to preach a while back. And I said, God, I'm empty. I need somewhere to preach. I need somewhere to share. And I preached. We've preached all over the place and, you know, been filled in for several people. And as I have a friend back home, Doug Goodman, and we at least talk at least once a week if we don't eat lunch once a week. He's a pastor there. And I shared with him. One day, and I said, Doug, you know, I said, it's been great to preach. It's been great to share God's word with people. I said, but there's something missing. I said, I can't put my finger on it. Something missing. He said, let me tell you what it is. He said, you hadn't surrendered. I said, what? I mean, we've been friends for, we rode seminary together. So we're pretty honest with each other. He said, you hadn't surrendered. I said, what are you talking about? I said, I've been preaching. I've been doing exactly what He told me to do. I've been all over the place preaching because He's opened all these doors. That's where I've been. He said, you hadn't allowed the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with that message. He said, that's what's missing. He said, you haven't submitted yourself to the message. That sounds like our church, right? We haven't submitted ourselves to the message. We haven't submitted ourselves to the Holy Spirit and His leading and His prodding. So we become disobedient in those things. And if you've ever tasted it, if you've ever been there, you don't want to be there. You want to be somewhere else. You want to be in the midst of where God is working, what God is doing, and you don't ever want to go back. It separates us from the love that He has for us. It separates from the joy that it gives us to work with Him. See, if you look at those first few verses, not at the beginning in the first verse, it says, who are dead in our trespasses at the end, which once walked according to the course of what? The world. I submit to you tonight that our churches are walking according to the world. I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about church in general. We have been walking with the world too long, and it's time to change. It's time to turn it around. It's time for us to start being the light on the hill that God called us to be. And we cannot be that if we're in the slum of the world. We've got to rise above it. Not remember that we're not that good. And it's only because of God that we are where we are. You see, the same thing that makes unsaved people dead makes a person sick, weak, ineffective, in need of healing. The very same verses that are speaking to a lost person speaks to us as Christians, because all of this same stuff that he's talking about here, that Paul's talking about in Ephesians, makes us sick, weak, ineffective, and we need some healing, amen? So we can do what God called us to do. Then we get to verse 4. And y'all, the first three-letter word that I love the most is that one right there. Because when I read the Bible and I see how depraved and I see how out of line with God I am, and then I get to this verse and it says, but. Ain't that good? But what makes it even better, it says, but God. But God. God's what makes it good. There's a three-letter word there, and it says, but God. But God changed everything. But God turned everything around and made it good. Why would we not want to live in that? Why would we not want to be part of that? It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he what? He loved us. He's rich. He's abundant in mercy. He's generous with his mercy. And with me, he had to be. Don't you, y'all two quit smiling down there. See, as I began to pray and as I began to study this and I began to look at this, and I really believe the reason the Holy Spirit began to move in me last Sunday was that I submitted my life to him and I said, God, I'll do whatever it takes to be back in love with you. And y'all, as church members, as people, we need to do whatever it takes to be back in love with him. But you see, the only thing that's going to change our world, our country, our denomination, our churches, and me, is but God. So why do we want to complain about our world? Why do we want to complain about our country? Why do we want to complain about our denomination? Why do we want to complain how dead our churches are when we're not willing to be alive in him? You see, that very first verse, it says, but we were made alive in him. Y'all sitting here like y'all dead. It's okay. You can smile every now and then. You see, we're supposed to be alive. We're supposed to be living in his mercy and in his grace. We're supposed to be reaching a lost and dying world with that same mercy and same grace that he gave to me. You see, I can't complain because the world's dead, our churches are dead, and everything else is around that is dead if I'm dead. I cannot complain about somebody else being lost if I'm not willing to reach them for Christ. I cannot complain about a church being dead when the pastor or somebody's preaching is dead. I can't complain. Why? Because it starts with me. You see, my pastor last Sunday, he said something woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. He said it was the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit told me that there was somebody going to be in our church today that was lost. And he said, man, why'd you come pray with me? I said, I don't know. I said, I was in that choir. I was singing. And I said, three times the Holy Spirit said, you need to go pray with your pastor. And I said, I tried to figure out a time and way to do that. And I said, I couldn't do it. I said, but I could feel the Holy Spirit moving. I could feel him moving in my life. I could feel him moving in the church. And as we was coming down out of the choir loft, he looked at me dead in my eyes. Now, we've been friends for a long time. He looked straight at me. And I went, just like that. Meet me in the hallway. Y'all, that was one of the best sermons he's preached in over a year. Not because of anything I did, but because the Holy Spirit showed up. Because he submitted himself, I submitted myself. You see, I can't complain about his preaching if I'm not willing to preach for him, or pray for him, or stand at the helm for him and with him. You can't complain because your pastor's having a rough time if you're not willing to pray for him. You can't complain about his sermons. You can't complain about him being dead if you're not willing to submit to Christ. You see, the only thing that's going to unify us is Christ. The only thing that's going to fix our race relationships, the only thing that's going to fix our churches, the only thing that's going to fix anything is going to be Christ and Christ living in us. So we need to quit complaining and start submitting to Christ. Told y'all. God preached this to me. You see, I've been complaining about my home church being dead. And I'm sitting in the middle of it. I tell you one area that ain't going to be dead no more. It's going to be the place I sit. You see, then that's going to fall over in somebody else. And they're going to catch hold of the idea. You know what? I don't care if everybody else is dead. I'm not going to be dead. And then it's going to fall over into somebody else. Before you know it, the church will be alive. Amen. He says he's rich in mercy. And he wants to give it to us. But God, for who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us what? Alive. If you're lost today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you something. You're dead in more ways than one. So you're spiritually dead. You say, well, I'm still alive. It won't be long. You won't be. I've got friends of mine who died by cancer and everything else as fast as I can look around. You see, we can't wait on the day that Jesus steps out on the cloud. Because today may be your day that he steps out on the cloud and picks you up and takes you out. But you notice what he says. He raised us from the dead because we were dead. The only way we can raise our denomination and our churches up is quit being dead, that we need to let Christ to raise us up in his life. But look what he says after that. He says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, we've been made alive, what? Together in Christ. Together in Christ, we've been made to sit at the right hand of the Father with Jesus Christ. He says he's raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. Together. I caught Neil off guard the other night. Y'all had the black pastor in the church choir. I said, "Ooh, man, I wish I could have been there." I said, "I'm just going to tell you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to the black side." To say. He's like, huh? He finally caught up with me. There's not going to be sides, amen, and there ain't going to be no little cabin in the corner. We're all going to live in whose house? The Father's house. Because there are many rooms. Many rooms. You see, life begins in Jesus Christ. Life in this world begins when Jesus Christ works through us. If we want life around us, we need to let him live through us. We need to quit complaining about being dead and start submitting to the Holy Spirit and allow him to work in us. You see, because we're going to be there together. You know, there's an old joke that that a guy went to heaven and St. Peter was showing him around and he said, "Now, y'all need to be quiet right here now." And they all kind of looked at each other and said, he said, "This room's where all the Baptists are. They think they're only one up here." Sorry. One of the best friends I had in seminary. I know this is hard to believe and it sounds far-fetched. His name was Robert Washington. This man had laid brick all his life before God called him into the ministry. He had arms just big around. He was huge. And y'all, he was as black as the sole of my shoes. Well, my other shoes. I love that man to death. We were sitting in Cracker Barrel in Meridian, and I told her, I said, "That goes Robert." And he looked at me. Now, we talking about a guy that makes me look small. That's a big old fella. He saw me out of the corner of his eyes, and he began to scream, "Dad, oh!" and running across Cracker Barrel to hug me and tell me he missed me. You see, one day that's what we're going to do. Amen? Black, white, purple, green, I don't care what color you are. No, which color your hair is. You see, when I step inside of heaven, the first person I'm going to see is Jesus. Amen? But I can just see the fellowship of every race, of every people group. Not because they were good, not because they had some kind of power, but because of the power and the love and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, one day there's going to be a big old supper, and y'all can tell I like supper. And we're going to sit down with our brothers and sisters. You better start liking them now because you're going to see them there. Amen. You better start getting along with them, pray for them, and letting the Holy Spirit lead you in the way that you lead them to Christ, because you will be sitting with them. Amen. I grew up with one of the most racist men, and that was my daddy. And I grew up with one of the most unracist women, and that was my mother. And I pray for my mother's heart every day, because she loved people. She didn't see a color. She didn't see a sex. She didn't see the color of their hair. She saw people. You see, we need to see people. But the only way we're going to see people is if He lives within us. You want to be excited about coming to church? Start praying. You want to see exciting things happen on this hill? Start praying. But not only praying, when He calls you to do something, do it. Do it. Don't just sit there, do it. You see, He tells us that we're going to be together, we're going to be together with Christ. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 37 through 39, it says, Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all the soul, and with all your mind. Jesus, unlike us, wasn't pointing to everybody. He was pointing to you. You. You see, we like to think it's everybody else's problem. The spiritual life in the church is our problem. And y'all, that's what I want to see changed. I don't know about you. But he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. You see, if we don't get that right, nothing else matters. Absolutely nothing else matters. And he says, the second is like it. This is the one we really don't like. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you don't love your neighbor, it's because you don't love Christ. Hello? Now, my wife, I like to pick on her when I preach, has prayed for me over the last 2 years. You see, I pastored a church. Let's put it that way. And it sucked the life out of me. Absolutely sucked the life out of me. I had become so negative. I had become where I didn't even want to talk to people. And I would go off in a minute. One of the hard things that I don't understand is, and it's my fault, not yours, but I don't understand people who can't do stuff for themselves. I got a 19-year-old that can't do nothing for himself. And it drives me crazy. But for the last 2 years, she's been praying that I have compassion. That God would open my heart up. That I would have compassion for people again. That I would love people again. And y'all, without the Holy Spirit being in the center of our life, without me loving God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind, I can't do that. And neither can you. You see, when God gets in our hearts and gets in our minds, He changes us and changes who we are. That's how we can do the second part of that commandment. Why does He give us the first part? Because He knows apart from Him, we can't do the second part. I I don't see how people go through this world without Christ. I really don't. There really ain't going to be nothing left tonight. I got one more little illustration I want to give you. It's about some friends of ours, and he was at the church I was pastoring, and he came down the aisle one day, just tears running down his face. And this is a grown man now. Had one of the most dysfunctional families you ever saw in your entire life. Bless his heart. I mean, but he held it all together now. I mean, he was a good man. He come down the aisle. He said, "I want to be baptized, Brother Dana." I said, "Why do you want to be baptized?" "I'm a little different like that now. I don't just dunk anybody that comes along like some folks do." That's the reason 80% of the church is dead. Just saying. I said, "Why do you want to get baptized?" He said, "Well, that's the right thing to do." I said, "Mm-mm." I said, "Sit down right there. We'll talk about it after church." So we sit down. I shared the gospel with him. I shared Christ with him. And he says, "Well, Pastor, how am I going to know when God's calling me to him?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "I can't tell you that." I said, "But I can tell you this." I said, "You won't think about anything else." I said, "You won't do anything else." I said, "Everybody in the room won't be there. It'll only be you and God." And I said, "That's when you'll know he's calling you to be saved." Being the pastor I was and the great preacher I was, the next Sunday, I'm thinking, "Boy, he's coming. Yes, he's coming down that aisle." That Sunday went by. I'm thinking, "Man, maybe I messed up." Preached the next Sunday, it went by. That next Sunday, I just felt the Lord moving. And I got down here like I always did, and I closed us in prayer. And when I looked up like this, he's standing right here. And all he could say was, "I know." Y'all, ain't nothing more beautiful than that.
That's right.
I'm telling you, absolutely nothing in this world more beautiful than that. Do you want to experience that? Let me tell you how to do it. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he'll teach you to love people and want to see them get saved. See, about 2 years later, he had some wild grand youngins. God, they never been in church. And they was running up down the hall, running up down the church, and the what's my pastor call it? The women's military unit, WMU. I've heard a guy say that, and I thought, "Boy, I got to use that somewhere." They come to me and says, "Pastor, you're going to have to do something about them kids. They just running all, you're going to have to do something about that chicken, too." Oh, that's a rooster. I did grow up on a farm. That's a rooster. Okay. "Pastor, you're going to do something about them kids. They wild. They run everywhere." And I'd say, "You know, they've been in church. They don't know how to act in church." You know? And I'm thinking, thank God they don't know how to act in church. Two weeks before Christmas, I get a phone call from 911. Girl was in my church, and she'd be in trouble today if they found out. She wouldn't tell me what was going on. She wouldn't tell me what's happening. She gave me an address. And she said, "You need to go there, and you need to go there now." We jump in the car, and we go there. Sheriff's cars everywhere. Wouldn't let us get close by. Knew one of the deputy sheriffs, and he said, "This man had killed his wife, his two children. We were, I think, 2 and 3, something like that, and himself." 2 weeks before Christmas. I could see them come up on the other side over there. And a guy had got saved. That was his two grandchildren, his daughter. The wife had gotten saved. His daughter had gotten saved about 2 or 3 weeks earlier. Told her estranged husband, who she was not married to, either we get married or I'm moving out because I'm going to do what's right. He begged her into coming that afternoon, so he could have Christmas with his children. He said, I just want y'all to spend the night. She says, I'm not going to do it. I'm going home. He said, if you'll just sleep on the couch. He said, y'all can go home in the morning. He got up that morning with a .40 caliber pistol. He stuck it to the top of her head while she was asleep on the couch. Killed her. His two boys were in the kitchen eating cereal. He shot one in the head going down the hall and chased the other one to the back bedroom, shot him in the head. Then sit down on the end of the bed and shot himself. I ask him every time, man, how do you make it? And he says, because you see, if you want to make it through troubled times, you need Jesus. Without him, we are absolutely nothing. And we fall apart. And whether you're 2 or 92, unless you know him, you will bust a devil's hell wide open. And I'm not talking about being a church member. I'm not talking about being a Sunday school teacher. I'm not talking about somebody that's got a pen. We used to give pens out at our last church. I think that one woman had, I don't know how many years that woman had. That pen's not going to make a difference in your life. Only Jesus will. You see, the only thing that changes me, the only thing that changes you is him. But you see, there's a requirement there. We got to love him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. We cannot love our wives, our children, our grandchildren, football, baseball, whatever ball you want to put in there. We must love him with everything that we have. Because my relationship with her hinges on my relationship with him. So in a nutshell, this is what God put on my heart. Put on my heart, and I hope it touches your heart. I'm tired of living in a dead world. Sure. My own world. And the only thing that's going to change it is my relationship with him. The only thing that's going to get you through tomorrow, the only thing that's going to get you through the next week or cancer or Alzheimer's or death is going to be the love and the grace of mercy of Jesus Christ. And that alone. You don't need anything else. But we got to start living it. We just can't keep talking it. We got to start living it. We must be followers of Christ. Have you given him everything? And let me tell y'all something, it's hard. I love that 19-year-old today. He plays college football. Guess what I love? College football. I'm going to say something that's really offensive down here. Roll Tide. Anyway. Yeah, there you go. Amen. No, thank you. Thank you. Do you know what I got to put before all that? You know. Because, see, the rest of that world's all messed up without him. If you're living in a world today in your life and it's all messed up, I'm not talking about without tribulation. I'm not talking about without troubled times. Because you can have peace in the midst of that if you know Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know who he is? Are you willing to say, I'm done playing church. I'm done playing with all this other stuff. And say, God, I'm going to be real with you. Because that's the only thing that's going to change. It's the only thing that's going to unify us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank